Welcome everyone to the Ditch the Struggle podcast. I'm your host, Alana Russo. I'm a graphic designer and career and success coach who knew I could do better, but kept falling short of where I wanted to go. And now, after years of exploring personal and career development, business, money mindset, and energy work, I'm here to tell you that yes, you can move from stuck and defeated to empowered and confident. Ready to dive in? Awesome. Together, let's ditch the struggle. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Ditch the Struggle. This is Alana, and this episode is the first one to dive into the topic of toxic bosses and toxic jobs and toxic workplaces. And it's a big one. I have many episodes planned around this topic because it affects so many people. And I had an experience in 2021 that completely derailed me. It absolutely did. Knocked me on my ass. And it took a lot out of me. And today I'm going to talk a little bit about that. It's going to actually be a foundation episode based on an article that I wrote on toxic bosses. So I'm going to just talk a little bit and then I'm going to read the blog post because it will set us up for future episodes. And there's just so much in this one blog post that I think will resonate with a lot of people. When I did start talking about this toxic workplace experience that happened in 2021, I got so many messages and private DMs about it. I could not believe how many people came out of the woodwork to tell me that they had something similar happen to them, that they are glad I shared my story because parts of it resonated. So I will continue talking about this. However, there is a part of me that wants to leave this whole chapter of my life behind. It was all consuming. It took over so many parts of my life and my brain and my mind and my body that part of me just doesn't want to think about it anymore. But sometimes I think those are the things we need to talk about, the things that we don't want to talk about. And I don't want to sit in that space and that energy from back then. I've moved on, but I learned so much from it. And I continue to learn from that experience. And there are still a few things that I've had to process that I am processing from that experience. So we're never going to be in a world where there's not toxic people, toxic bosses, and toxic jobs. It's always going to exist. So I feel like I need to share information and insight on this topic. So this is a summary of the story. And then I will do a deep dive into this experience, probably over at least 2 episodes. And it might not be Selling Sunset, but it will be at least entertainment tonight. So you have that to look forward to in the next little while. But here we go. I'm going to read you my blog post that is called The Toxic Boss You Never Saw Coming. There are many types of toxic bosses out there. There are the bullies who only care about themselves, lie to cover up their mistakes, and berate employees to build their own egos. There are the micromanagers who don't trust their team, get up in everyone's grill, and impede productivity by questioning every single detail on projects. There are the incompetent bosses whose skills, despite a robust resume, are nothing more than smoke and mirrors, and they literally can't do their job. And yes, all of these bosses are awful, but there's another kind of boss who lurks quietly behind the office doors, often with a bright smile and a fresh cupcake in hand, the people pleaser. People pleasers are individuals who are averse to saying no, desperately need others to like them in order to feel good about themselves, avoid conflict at all costs, and have no concept of boundaries. People pleasers are often also tremendously insecure. They constantly question their own decisions because they fear both being criticized and letting others down. At first, the people pleaser boss seems nice, generous, and considerate. They often have a super friendly vibe that makes you think, we are so going to get along. One soon discovers, however, that there is a dark side to working for someone who is so accommodating. I was working as a manager in a cosmetics company when I learned just how toxic this kind of management style can be. For the first 2 years of my job, I had only one major people pleaser to contend with, the company manager. While not ideal, it was manageable because I didn't have to work with her daily. I almost felt sympathy for the hoop jumping she constantly engaged in to impress her own boss at the head office. And while her indecisiveness and seriously wacky last-minute requests created extra work for me and my own team, we were able to handle it with a certain level of grace. One day, however, I got a new direct boss and I knew it was game over. Overnight, my job went from tolerable to toxic. I was now working under a tower of people pleasers, feeling crushed at every turn. My new boss, a director, was a classic people pleaser with unrealistic expectations of her staff. She had no off switch and bragged about working 14 hours a day. People pleasers make excellent workaholics, and this woman was going to be the best workaholic her boss, the company manager, had ever seen. She was going to go, 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 and never say no. With no regard for anyone's mental or physical health, she demanded productivity 24/7. She also dumped most of her responsibilities on other team members, knowing they could do better and make her star shine brighter. The result? Every day was exhausting, draining, and painful. So how can you tell if you are working for a people pleaser? Number one is check for work boundaries. Think about the top executives of the company and determine what boundaries, if any, they have in place. Do they put their foot down when necessary, work reasonable hours, and use all of their vacation days? Or do they say yes to everyone and everything, work weekends, and send emails at 2 a.m.? Have they not discovered the send later feature in Outlook? If it's the latter situation, you're likely screwed. Number two, look at the company's language. While actions often speak louder than words, there's a lot you can learn about a company from their mottos, manifestos, and buzzwords. When I had my first phone interview for the manager position, I asked about more details on the company's culture from an outside position. It looked super fun and progressive. Without missing a beat, the HR manager said, "We live by the motto, work hard, play hard." My initial reaction was, "Cool, I'm on board." As someone who loves to both work hard and play hard, reading on my Kindle for 6 hours straight counts, right? I could easily resonate with this work philosophy. Sign me up. Little did I know that 3 years later, after working myself to the bone and no longer sleeping at night because of work anxiety, I would come to loathe that phrase. According to Adam Grant, organization psychologist and best-selling author, the phrase work hard, play hard translates to, we work 90-plus hour weeks, but occasionally we party instead of sleeping. Although I'm a certified career coach and I knew much, much better, I was in the position so many of us have been in. I still liked elements of my job. I had a good paycheck with company perks, and I was simply not mentally ready to leave. It almost felt like I was letting the bad guys win if I quit. It's amazing how corporate culture can make you believe that self-preservation is giving up. Yikes. In a last-ditch effort to make my job work, I started setting some clear boundaries. This included pushing back on deadlines and questioning make-work projects that I believed were unnecessary. Not surprisingly, my boundaries were not met with enthusiasm. I was immediately labeled difficult and not a team player. While Brené Brown would have been so frickin' proud of me, heck, I was proud of me, I was not going to win this battle. It was time for me to exit the ring. The irony is that I'm a recovering people pleaser. I used to be that person who ran myself ragged, not only to help others, but to prove my worth. And now here I was trying to maintain my sanity in a people pleasing circus. I believe things happen to us so we can face what we most need to learn. And the lesson here was clear. I needed to truly disconnect from all the old patterns and behaviors that were no longer serving me. Was I finally ready to put my needs first? And was I done being sucked into the toxic orbit of the people pleaser? The answer was a resounding yes. Once I made that decision, the desire for personal peace far outweighed the fear of leaving the job. I left. It wasn't about giving up or giving in. It was about doing what was best for me and my mental health. I decided I was no longer available to participate in anything that brought out my worst self and left me feeling like garbage. Not only is life too short for that, but there are thousands of other job options out there that will serve you better. It's your job to find the one that works best for you. Don't sit and suffer. Don't try to wait it out. Hold your head high and move on. Was it scary to leave my job? Yes. But the thought of staying where I was, overworked, undervalued, and never feeling like I could do enough was much more frightening. Opting out of the toxic chaos was a crucial decision in my career and life. At that moment, I fully stepped into my best self, strong, empowered, and certain that the only person I would be pleasing was my own damn self. And there you go, an intro to my toxic job story. If anyone out there is going through something similar, I want you to know it is not all you. You are not the problem, and you can recover from this experience. I have, but it took some time, quite a bit actually. So be kind to yourself as you process this trauma, because it is in fact a trauma, but it is one that you can absolutely move through. Thank you for joining me today on Ditch the Struggle. You showing up here means so, so much to me. To dig deeper into the topics discussed today and to learn about my work, visit alanarosa.com. And don't forget to download your free resources while you're there. And if this episode resonated with you, please share with others who also want to ditch the struggle. Go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, leave a rating and a review, and let me know what you'd like to see more of on this podcast. And before I go, I want to leave you with my three favorite ways to ditch the struggle. Be your own best advocate, take baby steps for the win, and forget about a linear career path. It's overrated and you are doing just fine. See you next time.